Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists, Robert Sachs. Robert, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Hi Steve, great to be here.
Mate, Rob, I'm excited to spend a little bit of time chatting with you about your experiences with the Challenge Podcast. But mate, you know, just a few days ago, you found out that you were in the top 10 in our August Max's Challenge. How has the past couple of days been like for you?
Yeah, well, finding out I was in the top 10 was really exciting. Was watching the awards night with my wife, and she screamed when my photo came up on the screen. So yeah, I think she actually saw it before I did and before you guys had actually said it. So I was mostly reacting to that rather than being in the top 10 when it happened. But yeah, it's been really good. It feels good to get that feedback that I've had a good challenge and gotten the results were excellent. So really happy with that and excited for my packet of goodies.
Yeah, mate, you know, you blew us away with your transformation. You know, you definitely inspired myself to train a bit harder and inspired, I'm sure, many people online to give it a good crack. So, mate, congratulations on an amazing, amazing result. Now, Rob, I know a little bit about you having read your profile online, but there might be a few people who might not know who you are. So, would you like to start by giving us a little bit of an introduction about yourself, maybe where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Rob?
Yeah, so I'm from Melbourne, 36. A little bit of everything as far as work's concerned at the moment. So bar manager by trade, currently doing my certificate 3 in fitness, which will lead into certificate 4 and then hopefully a job as a PT, moving out of hospitality for lifestyle reasons. I've got a little bit of a side hustle is an environmental business, turning food waste into electricity and liquid plant food. So yeah, a lot of different, little bit of everything.
Wow, very cool, very cool. Tell me, whereabouts is the bar that you are currently working at?
So it's in Ringwood, so eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
Yeah, okay. Because that's kind of how I started my journey, okay, Rob? I think there's some similarities with us. So when I was young, like early teens, I was working in like restaurants, right? And then when I turned 18, I started working at bars, right, in the hospitality scene. And then I slowly transitioned into like the fitness space, starting with recreational centers as like a lifeguard and then moving into like personal training and things like that. So very similar. And man, talking about environmental side of things, I've heard this similar narrative lots from when I speak to people who work in like environments or maybe working in solar, or like one of my best mates works at Tesla, right? All of those came from like a fitness background. And I think as we move through fitness, we kind of become really conscious of our consumption, mainly around like that food side of things. All right, how much am I consuming? Like, what's my actual use of that, right? And we get really conscious of our, you know, what we use. And that then leads people into working for like conservation or environmental reasons. And I think that's really cool. And, you know, even myself, I've looked at ways that I can help in the environmental space just because in that fitness area, I think there's very similar values. And it's awesome to see for you, man. That's great. I love that.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks.
Rob, let's talk about the challenge now.
Yep.
So I want to speak about why. So I believe this August challenge was your first challenge that you did with us, right?
Yeah, it was first challenge. I've kind of cheekily done one in the past where I had a good mate that I was training with that he was doing the challenge. So he was my gym buddy at the time. So I was doing the workouts, but just the workouts. So I was aware of it for a while. And then did this challenge because basically over lockdown, I got really fat.
Yep, I understand. So, you know, speaking about why would it be that, you know, over that COVID period, you put on some COVID kilos. Would that be fair? Yeah. What was it? Where was that moment that you decided that you needed to do something, right? And I say this because some individuals, you know, either through COVID or through their 30s or maybe when they have kids, you know, they slowly start to put on weight. And it's not until there's one like moment, right? Maybe you catch yourself in the mirror. Maybe you get a photo of yourself. You're like, oh shit, I should do something about this. Was there a defining moment for you, Rob?
It was probably more of a progress than a defining moment. So it sort of started with sort of mid COVID, I guess. Was cruising at not a bad weight and decided that put on a little bit of extra weight so I could put on some muscle. And so I wasn't really controlling what I was eating. And it just got out of control and ballooned to a point where I was no longer bulking for a fitness process. I was just eating. Like I was having a whole big bag of chips and a block of chocolate pretty much every night. And yeah, just any muscle tone that I had had was completely invisible.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that. You know, I've got buddies or people in the fitness space that through COVID, they're like, oh, well, it's cool. I'll just bulk. No stress. But then that bulk just turns into, hey, man, I'm sorry. You just kind of gotten a little bit fat now. You haven't really bulked. It sounds like that's maybe what happened with you there, Rob.
Yeah.
I get that. So, Rob, it sounds like you've come from a bit of a fitness background. You've got a little bit of experience around training. Maybe you trained with buddies and such in the past. But from here, I want to speak a little bit about challenges. So everybody has their own unique challenges, and I'm sure it's not always sunshine and rainbows. But over that six-week period, can you speak about some challenges that you faced while completing the challenge?
Yeah, so the big one for me was staying on with my nutrition, because it was a pretty drastic change in diet. That I was going from high carb, high fat, just junk food to a lot cleaner eating. Surprisingly, it was bread that got me, that it was cravings for bread. People talking about, you know, what are you having for dinner? It was like a bit of Turkish bread. We sit there, I was like, oh yeah, I don't even like Turkish bread. But the idea of like toasted Turkish bread with some butter was really appealing at the time. Yeah, and sort of maintaining portions. So I was a little bit slack with my portions on, so like the first day I had 55 grams of almonds on my allowed diet. And so I weighed it out and counted that. And so I had 16 almonds, so I wasn't going to get the scales out every time. I'd count my 16 almonds. That lasted for probably about 2 weeks. And then it was a small handful, which was about the portion size that I was getting with my 16. And things like, we've got a grammage amount on your fruit. So I think it was like 75 grams of pear that I could have. I'm like, well, I'm not going to have 75 grams of pear, but I started buying small pears. So I'd be hitting that in the ballpark of that weight. Because I was in lockdown for the whole challenge, the workouts, I did have to get a little bit creative, but that was a minor challenge through it that, so like I can't do a standard squat at home. So I was doing goblet squats, which by the nature of it drops the weight a lot, and then just adjusting the reps to compensate for not doing a heavy squat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I completely understand. Now, I want to speak about like that Turkish bread, right? Everyone has their own, you know, kryptonite, as you would with food. Like for me, anything in paste form, man. So I'm talking hummus, I'm talking like yogurt, any sort of dips, like anything in paste form can't be around it, okay?
Yeah.
So like for me to manage that, I just refuse to buy it. Like if my partner buys it in the house, it goes in another side of the house. I can't have it near me, right? And here I am, you know, Coach Steve, Mr. Fitness Guy. That's my kryptonite. And it sounds like for yourself, you developed this kryptonite for Turkish bread, maybe something that you didn't have in the past. Speak to us, what did you do to overcome that kryptonite? How did you get rid of it?
Yeah, well, so actually probably my bigger kryptonite was donuts. And I feel like Coles stitched me up because they came out with a new donut range, I think in the second week of the challenge. And I was walking past because I had to get wraps for my lunch and it's in the same section. I saw that, I'm like, do I just tank it? So I just have this 4-pack of donuts and I'll deal with it later. Is my challenge done? Because Coles has come out with these new donuts and they are going to ruin me. And I did have to just keep walking and ignore it. And yeah, because once I'd started on those, it probably would have been the end.
Yeah, I hear, man. And it's funny because when you look back now, you're like, man, that donut, that experience, that one time at Coles could have derailed my entire like process, right? And it's funny that it's often like something so small, like in that moment when you were at Coles, like you made that decision to be like, nah, I'm going to do something about this. Like I'm going to say no to the donut, right?
Yeah.
Donuts to donuts, right? But when we look back, like sometimes in our life, it is those really small moments that lead us down a certain path. And not to say that it's that really big butterfly effect and everything is like, oh, geez, you have to think about every decision that you make. But sometimes it is those really small things that really pay dividends throughout the end. And, you know, imagine yourself in that small moment, you could have decided to be Fit Rob where you are now or Curvy Kilos Rob where you were like a few months ago, which I think is really cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Now, look, let's speak a little bit about change? So if you were to jump in that time machine and go back 6 weeks ago, how can you speak about how your life has changed over that 6 week period to get this result that you did?
Yeah, well, so it wasn't just like my fitness at the time. I was really unmotivated and just no focus, doing sort of the bare minimum to get through the day. A lot of that last lockdown that we had in Victoria, I think really hit a lot of us hard. And so, yeah, just getting up and actually doing something in the morning and not spending the day in front of the TV was pretty hard. Like I'd do what I had to for work, but not much more. So through the challenge, I always find having a good workout and just everything afterwards is easier. I find I've got a good sort of 2-3 hours afterwards where I can be really productive. So that's the big change for me, that, you know, go do my workout, have a good sesh. Even if I don't have a great sesh, I'm so much more productive afterwards.
Yeah, man, I hear you. I definitely feel that sense of like apathy across lots of Melburnians and also those in New South Wales and anyone really affected by lockdowns. And man, sometimes it was just like spinning your wheels. Lucky like myself, I've got a home gym set up. You know, I've got some weights, I've got some barbells, I've got space. I'm lucky enough to have that space to train. Where others, maybe yourself, you were training just in your living room or something. And even myself, I'd kind of pick myself and be like, all right, let's go do it. And sometimes it felt like I was just going through the motion. So, you know, speak to me, Rob, like firstly, where were you training? Was it in the living room? Did you have space? Like, what was that like?
Yeah. So I've kind of got a back room at my house, which is the general junk and everything room. And I've been pretty lucky with my setup that, when I was sort of 18, 19, all my birthday Christmas presents was gym kit. So I've got a bench, got a barbell, got some dumbbells and a bunch of weights. It is like the old school, not an Olympic barbell. So I think I've pushed the limit of what I can do with that bar. I got 150 kilos on it for the deadlift and I can't physically put any more plates on the end of it. Even that, like the clips are just barely hanging on. It's a bit nerve wracking doing the deadlifts, but.
Yeah, I know the one. The ones with like, it's a really thin bar. Like you can, yeah, I know the one. Yeah, okay.
Tiny little bar. Stuff like, so one of the exercises that you've got on there, the hamstring with the dumbbells, hamstring curl with dumbbells, and had a good play with that, just getting the weights. So I tried with a 5 kilo plate on it and found that that was too big to get a good grip with my feet and it was slipping around a bit. The 2.5 kilo plates was a lot better. And then just sort of stacking that in a way that I could use it and get the weight I wanted and not be shinning myself with the weight plates on the lower side or just, yeah, losing control of it on top of my foot.
Yeah, very cool. I like that you made it work for you and the equipment that you had available to you. But, you know, speaking about now, like, are you still planning to train at home or are you jumping back in the gym?
Yeah, well, now my wife does have a few health issues. So really minimizing public contact at the moment from where I have to. So I'm pretty much going to work and that's it for my being in public spaces. So yeah, still home exercise, home gym.
No, very cool. Well, are you going to invest in any more gear? Or are you going to keep going with the little flimsy old bar and get that 150 kilos on there again?
Yeah, I'm staying with my 150 kilos on the bar for now. I'm looking at, do I get an Olympic bar? But also like the amount of money that it costs for the weight plates to get it just back up to that 150 kilos. So I think I'm going to hopefully get back into the gym rather than buy the Olympic bar.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I actually have 2 Olympic bars in my house. Nice. So, yeah, I definitely am one of those people now. We have lots of bumper plates in my house. So bumper plates are a little bit pricey because they bounce, but you can definitely get some cast iron ones for a pretty good price, you know, just a couple of dollars per kilo. So if you get 150 kilos, let's say $3 a kilo, you know, setting up about $500 for some plates at home, man, you can get a pretty sweet setup.
Yeah. All right. It makes it hard. Kmart's got the little weight plates. And they're so cheap.
Yeah, I do. I've got the Kmart dumbbells.
Yep.
The old school with the like twisty clip up ones.
Yep.
You might have seen them in most of the videos on the template that we have. And you know, that was $50. It's a small plate. And it was 20 kilos worth of load. Great, perfect for a little home gym setup. You're gonna be fancy and get 2 of those, and you've got 40 kilos of plates, and it'll cost you $100. good old Kmart, what don't they have, really? But look, Rob, I want to speak a little bit now about advice. So I'm sure many people have come up to you and said, Rob, what, you got an amazing result. How did you do it? What can I do? So if someone came up to you and they were about to start the Maxis journey themselves or just start their own fitness journey, what advice would you give this person?
Just make some sort of start. The thing that kept coming back to me through the challenge, I think it was something I heard through an anti-smoking campaign that was like, never quit quitting. So never stop starting. Like, you might have a bad start. You might not make it through a full challenge. You probably won't get the results you want the first time. It's all right. Take a couple of weeks, get back on the horse, start it again. And eventually you'll get those results you want. See a lot of people like on the forum having issues, especially at the start of the challenge, with the spreadsheet. And for me, the spreadsheet, it was like getting a new phone or a new laptop. First couple of days, you hate it. It's new, it's different. Nothing's where it was on the old one. And then you spend a little bit of time with it, and there's so much on those spreadsheets that you can just change it up to be what you want it to be. For the first 2 days, I hated those spreadsheets. But by day three, I'd figured out what I was doing with it. It was doing what I wanted, and it was great.
No, awesome. Look, as the creator of the spreadsheets, I forgive you for hating my spreadsheet at the start, but I'm glad you gave it some time and played around with some of the tools that we developed so that you can get the most out of your challenge experience. But look, talking about that quitting ad that you spoke about, you know, never quit quitting. One of the best ways someone explained behavior change to me is by starting with language, right? So let's say, smoking as an example, they said, instead of saying like, I'm quitting smoking, just say like, I've quit smoking. That's it. I just don't do it anymore. Similar to drinking, like, I'm trying not to drink anymore is very different to say, oh, I don't drink, right? Two very different meanings, even though it's a couple of letters difference. And maybe you can make that same analogy with like training or with body composition, with dieting. You know, oh, I don't eat Turkish bread. It's not what I do, rather than like, oh, I'm trying not to, but it's in front of me, so maybe I'll have a little bit, right? So I think it's very powerful when we think about the language and, you know, never quit quitting. I like that, Rob. But look, Rob, let's wrap it up there, my friend. I want to thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And I want to congratulate you once again for an amazing result that you've achieved over this 6-week period. And I'm excited and I hope that you continue on this journey, both within your own practice, but then especially as you transition into PT-hood, if that's a thing, when you start training individuals, becoming a coach of yourself and graduating from your Cert 4 in fitness, and then look at changing the lives of many more people in the future.
Yeah, thank you. And like, thanks to you and Coach Nick and like everyone in the community. It's been great.